thank you for the privilege of studying your precious word, your life-giving word. And Father, we've all entered into this room this morning, and we carry with us burdens. We carry with us, Father, concerns. Father, there's so much in each of our worlds that just, Lord, we can't control. It's out of our control. And so this morning we come and we acknowledge, there you are. You're seated on the throne. You are sovereign, almighty God. You know us. You're very intimate with us. You love us. You care for us. Do you believe that this morning? And so, Father, we come to your word because knowing your word is the wisest choice that we can make. If a heart really wants to be a kingdom woman, it's going to happen because we know your word. We continue in your word. We believe your word. We obey your word. And so, Father, take this series of lessons, especially this one this morning, as we learn about the test of responding to your word. And Father, would you encourage us? Would you bring great comfort to us? Would you help us this morning as we live in these days? I pray your blessing on each woman that's here. I pray your blessing on their family. I pray, Father, that you'll meet them and meet their needs and encourage them and strengthen them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're at James chapter 1. And so put a little marker there because I want to start by going to a few other places. Turn to John 15 with me. John 15, the Gospel of John. And I want to answer a few questions as we start this morning. Go to John 15. Now let's answer the question, who is it that is a friend of Jesus? Look at verse 14, and I'm going to answer that question for you right out of God's Word. This is Jesus talking, and this is what he said. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, here's another question. Who is it that really loves Jesus? Well, look at John 14, and let's answer that right out of the Word. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, what will he do? He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, how can I know for sure that I'm really saved? How can I know for sure? Go to, wait just a minute, let me make sure. It might be John 2, but I think I meant to put 1 John. Let me check this scripture out. 1 John 2:3. Go to 1 John. That's toward the end of your Bible. 1 John. And I want you to go to chapter 2. How can I know for sure that I'm really saved? And look at verse 3 of chapter 2. And this is what John writes. And by this we know that we have come to know him. Now what's the proof? Look at it right there scripturally. If we keep his commandments. Look at 1 John 3. Let's look at another one. Verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. It's obvious, he says. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Now, it's not claiming something in your life. It's not claiming something. Listen to me. It's living something. Now, this is on your handout, and it's important. Obedience to God's word is the common denominator to all true believers. Jesus said it this way. A good tree produces what? Good fruit. And a corrupt tree will produce corrupt fruit. By their fruit, you will know them. It's the fruit. Let me give you a Proverbs. Don't go there. I'll just give it to you. Proverbs 4:23 says this. Out of the heart come the issues of life. So what's in my heart, listen, will come out in my life. Those who obey the word of God give evidence of the life of God in their very souls. Now here's the heart of today's lesson. Look at verse 22 in James 1. Go back to James now and look at verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. That's the heart of the lesson. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Now, if you're only a hearer, then James says, if you just hear it and you don't do it, you are, what's the word? Study your Bible with me. You are deceived. You're deceived. Is it possible to think you're a Christian and really not truly be born again? Is it? Let me show you something. Go to the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew. Keep your finger there in James. Go to the Sermon on the Mount. And I meant to look this up. Hang on a minute. I'm going to have to find it. I don't know if it's... I think it's in chapter 7. But let me find it. Yes, it's in chapter 7. Look at verse 21. Of chapter 7 of Matthew. And there it says, Jesus is talking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not the saying, it's the doing that is the proof. James is laying out tests in this book. By the way, 1 John is very similar to James. 1 John also lays out tests of living faith. And you know what we can do? We can take our lives and put it up against the book of James, and we can find out if we're really for real or not. And I think that's so cool, that we can have confidence that our salvation is genuine. We don't have to wonder. We can know for sure that we are saved by just taking the test that James lays out in his book. And so we're on our third test. What was our first test? Our first test was our response to trials. How you respond to trials is an indicator of whether or not you are a genuine believer. And what is a trial? A trial is simply a situation which God allows in your life. He wants that trial to have a purpose, to teach you perseverance, to strengthen you, to drive you to depend on Him, to wean you away from the world. And then test number two was, how do we respond in temptation? And we saw that temptation and trial, same Greek word. But when you refuse to let the trial have its work, then it turns into a temptation, which is an enticement to evil. And last week we had part one of test three. And test three is all about our response to God's word, to the word of God. Now last week we looked at the first half. Let's go back to James and just read it real quickly so it'll be in our minds. And look at verse 19. This you know. Well, what is it that you know? Well, go back to verse 18 and you'll see that we were brought forth by the word of truth. And we are the first fruits among his creatures. We know it was God's word that caused us to be born again, he says. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word of implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now let's review real quickly what we saw last week. And last week was about the hearing. This week is about the doing. So how did you hear the word? How did you receive the word? Well, he said, number one, be quick to hear it. Number two, be slow to speak. In other words, don't be so quick to get up and teach it and share it. You be more of a listener, just as quick as you are to hear it, be just that slow to get up and speak it. And then number three, don't let it make you angry. Sometimes we don't want to hear God's word. It's just like, I know all that. Don't tell it to me. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to anyway. It's making me angry. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at my circumstances. I felt that way. Have you? Just get away. I don't want to hear it. And he says, don't let it make you angry. Because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So you receive it with a submissive heart. And then the second thing he said, receive it with a pure heart. You know, you put aside all that filthiness and all that wickedness. Put it off. Get rid of it, is what he's saying. And then receive it with humility. Receive with meekness the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But if all you do is hear the word of God, and you never live the word of God, then you are a hearer only. So today we're going to look at the other side. We're going to look at the doing side. It's hearing, and then it's doing. It's hearing, and then after we hear, our deepest desire in our heart is to live out what we've heard. And when that is true in your life, it's a wonderful confirmation to you that God's life is pulsing within your very soul. Now, the bottom line in the spiritual life is not just making a momentary commitment. The bottom line is this: it's long-term obedience. When you came to Christ, it's a covenant in your heart. It's a hunger to know and to obey the word of God. That's why I say salvation is not praying a prayer. Nowhere in the Gospels did you ever see Jesus say, just pray this prayer and you'll be saved. He told the rich young ruler, you got to forsake everything. You give away everything and then you come follow me. It's like in Romans, in John 10:10. Or is it Romans? Romans 10:10. You confess him as Lord. You believe in his heart, in your heart, that he's who he says he is, and then you confess him as Lord, and that means you can have me. I'll do whatever you say. You can be the boss of me. That's what you're saying. Now let's go back and read part two of James, starting with verse 22. Go to James 1, verse 22. But now he's switching. But, don't be just a hearer, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, now he's going to give us an analogy. He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in whatever he does. Wow. Let's talk about that. A hearer who is not a doer, and I think this is on your handout. A hearer who is not a doer is, what word am I looking for? Deceived. Put that down. He's deceived. God's word is in the spotlight in this test. The word is to be heard, and then the word is to be lived. Now that verse 22 is such a familiar verse. We know that verse. We've heard that verse our whole lives. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that word but is a very important transition word. It's wonderful to hear. It's wonderful to submit to the hearing. It's wonderful to receive it in purity. It's wonderful to receive it with humility. But if all you ever do is hear the word, you've got to go one step further. The word has to be obeyed. The command here is to be doers. And it is a command. It's not a suggestion. Now, it's in the present imperative. I think that's interesting. in the Greek tense of the verb. And this is what that means. Be ye continually doers, striving to be doers of the Word of God. Now, do true believers put the Word into practice? What am I saying? Do they? Yes. But let me ask you this question. Do true believers always put the Word into action? Do you always put the Word into action? You don't. If we did, wouldn't it be wonderful? Our pastors wouldn't have to preach so hard to us. No, we don't. But even when we don't, listen to me, it's the desire of our heart to do that. We're looking at our hearts this morning. It's your heart's desire. God, I really want to be a doer of your word. Is that your heart's desire? If that's your heart's desire, if that's what your heart yearns, even though you don't do it perfectly, if that's the yearning of your heart, that's proof that you are for real. Now, the word doer is an interesting word. It characterizes the whole personality. The whole personality. In other words, he does the word as a habit of life. That's his habit. This is a person whose life is characterized by holy energy. The word hearer is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's the ancient term for auditor. Auditor. Now, have you ever audited a class? Have you? Or you've known someone that audited a class? And that means they go to the class, but they don't do any of the work. They just enjoy the class. And they don't have to do the projects, and they don't have to take the test. So what he's saying is here is don't be just an auditor of your faith. You've got to be a doer of your faith. So many enjoy the privilege to hear, but they don't want the commitment of doing the work of God. But hearing is not an end in itself. Obedience is the bottom line, and that's the test. Do you receive the word, and do you live the word? Now, any response to the word of God other than obedience is really a deception. I may have put that on your handout, I'm not sure. If nothing happens in your life as a result of hearing God's word, you are deceived. You can't just go on living like you were living. The Word of God demands you to obey. Satan loves to trick us in this way. He loves to make us content with just the hearing. Oh, you went to church. You heard. Look how good you are. You've done it so good. Mark your little check. Satan doesn't care if we're religious. He doesn't mind at all. The word deceiving is an interesting word. And it means to miscalculate. Miscalculate. Or to reckon wrongly. And what he's saying here is if you think hearing's enough, you have made a big miscalculation. To explain this deception, he's going to give us a really neat analogy. And it's a word picture. And we see it in verse 23. He is like a man looking or beholding his face in a mirror. Now that word looking or beholding is a very forceful word in the Greek language. It doesn't mean a casual glance. It means to look carefully, cautiously, observantly. Carefully, cautiously, observantly. He's like a man looking in the mirror. And he's seeing his face, and he sees himself, and then he walks away. And when he walks away, he forgets what he saw. Now, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had lipstick on your teeth, and you didn't know it? Have you ever had a piece of black pepper stuck right in the middle of your teeth, and it just looks like a big old cavity? This is what I do all the time. I put my eye makeup on. I probably did it this morning. And then I put it on real heavy, and then I smudge it. But sometimes I forget to smudge it. So when I go out, I look like Miss Kitty from the Long Branch. And, that just happens all the time. Now, the point here is, if you look, when you see the problem, immediately correct it. But this person looks at the mirror, and before he corrects the problem, he walks away And he forgets what he saw. And he forgets what needed to be done. And here's the point, is you've got to do it when you see it. The hearer is the one who comes to the mirror. Now, what is the mirror a picture of?
Word.
What?
Word.
The Word of God. Good. He's come to the mirror to look at it. He's come to the Word of God to look at it. And when he looks in that mirror, when he looks in God's Word, when he hears the Word of God, you know what it does? A lot of times it'll correct him and show us what's wrong in our lives, what needs to be straightened out. And if that Word is demanding that you do something about what you're seeing, but if you get distracted and you walk away from it, you'll forget. He forgets what he saw. Now that's the hearer. But when you go to verse 25, you see the doer. And he's the contrast. Here's the one who has looked. Now this is a different word in the Greek, in this verse for looked. It literally means to stoop over. It means to bend down, to examine something with care and precision. It's a more intense looking than the other word in verse 22. Here's a person who really gets into it and really, really searches it out. The stooping implies they're humbling themselves. They're looking intently with great desire and effort. They want to discern what's being revealed in that mirror. In other words, when I go, I say, oh, I really want to see all those wrinkles. Oh, look at those blotches. Ooh, bags. Look at all these things, and I'm getting in my... Do y'all have one of those big mirrors that's like 10 magnifying? I do. It's not pretty. But I'll get in that 10 magnifying, and I can really see everything. That's the picture here in the Greek. And they're lingering at that mirror. You know why? They want to see everything that needs repairing. I come with the heart that says, God... Oh, God, I want my life to count for you. Your word is my answer. I'm going to look in your word because your word has the power to change me. Your word has the power to build me up, to make me mature, to correct me. Oh, God, I'm looking into it. Now show me things out of your word. I humble myself. I stoop over. I look closely into God's word. And my concern is that God's Holy Spirit would use that Word of God as a mirror to show me exactly what it is in my life I need to act upon. Now that's the right attitude. Because that's going to happen. What's going to happen when you walk away from it and the mirror is gone and life distracts you? I want to stay at that mirror and I want to correct what I see. And then he says, the one who stoops down, the one who looks closely into, and then he calls it the law, the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? What's that? That's God's word. Now, I love this. I love this. It is the law of what? Law of what? Study your Bible. I just told you. It's called the law of liberty. Liberty. See, y'all think I'm asking trick questions. I'm not. It's so very obvious. God's word frees us from every bondage, ladies. Do you need freedom in your life? Do you have issues? Do you have hurts? Do you have sorrows? Do you have hang-ups and hangovers from your past? It's God's perfect law of liberty that will set you free. It'll free you from every bondage. And when you look into it, and that verse says, continue. You don't just take a glance and walk away. You look into it, and you write the verse down, and you put it in your mirror, and you put it on your dashboard, and you listen to it on your iPod, and you're thinking about it, and you're constantly continuing in that word. It's God's authoritative instruction to you. Now, I want to say this. Just because we're living in the age of grace, that doesn't mean that we don't have any law. And just because God's given us so much beautiful forgiveness, it doesn't mean there is no law. It was called the law in the Old Testament. It's called the law in the New Testament. And Jesus didn't come to cancel the law. He came and perfectly fulfilled the law.
Now, I love God's law. I love it. It's perfect. It's complete. It's sufficient. It's comprehensive. It utterly represents the mind of God. It is the revelation of His will for all of mankind. It is everything we need. It is flawless. It is without error. It will meet every need in your life. It will touch every part of your life. It will fulfill every desire of your heart. It is the law of God. And yet, it is a liberating law. Now, I just love that. What a paradox. The law of liberty. How can law be liberty? It is the word of God that liberates us. It's a law of freedom, and it frees us from the bondage of slavery. I just dance in my heart as I think about this. You know why? Because I've experienced liberty when I come to the law. I've been set free. I don't have to obey God. It's not some do this, do this, do this. No, I get to obey God. His spirit is in me. My heart wants to obey. And the power of sin has been broken in my life because of what Christ has done. And I get to obey. It's not a have to. It's a get to. It is the law of liberty. I don't serve out of bondage. You know what? I serve out of love. Because listen, all that God has done for me, it causes me to want to give all of my all to Him. It's a heart of gratitude. Now let's go back to the analogy. And when you look into the Word of God, and then He says, and continue in it, that's the persevering learner. He doesn't forget. He looks closely at what he's seen in the Word of God. He learns what is displeasing to God in his life. And he wants to throw that off and get rid of it. Now, that's the kind of character that marks a true believer. Now, let me just stop and say that. Is this an easy way to live? Is this easy? It is not. It's hard to come to God's Word with the attitude, God, show me how to grow. What is it in me that is hindering growth? It's much easier for me to come to God's Word and say, God, show me what's wrong with Bill so that I can help him. Or show me what's wrong with other people in my life so I can help them. That's hard to do. It's hard to have self-examination. Now, I don't know about you. I'm 56. The last 20 years of my life have been a whirlwind. Think about the last 20 years of your life. They went just like that. The next 20 years, I add 20 to 56, and I'll be 76 years old. I'll be a little old lady teaching the Oasis Sunday School. I think, oh my goodness, Lord, there's so little time left. And I want to keep moving forward spiritually. I want to get all of those blemishes and wrinkles and all those things out of the way. Show me God. I'm going to rush to your word. It's the perfect law. Show me my ugliness. Oh, there's a lot of it there. Bring it on, God. So that having seen it, I can rush to you for the cure. And I cry out to him, God, change me. Change me. Keep changing me. And God's word tells me who I am. God's word tells me who I belong to. God's word tells me where the sore spots are. Then I can call upon him to help me make things right. I want to see it as God sees it. Do you? I want to love to do what the Bible commands me to do. It made me think of this hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, aren't you glad I didn't sing that? And I just... Look at the end of verse 25 with me. It ends with this great statement. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, this is what I want you to see. Do you know what that means? That means that the blessing is not in the hearing. The blessing comes in the doing. Blessed is the man. He's going to be blessed in his deed. Deed, doing, same thing. Same thing. Listen to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Do you want your way to be prosperous, blessed, successful? Stick with the Word of God. Hear it, look in it, meditate on it, do it day and night, and when it shows you where you need to change, rush to that and change. Put the Word into practice. So, true faith receives the Word, and true faith puts it into action. Now, a few more comments on the last two verses, and let's read them really quickly. 26 and 27. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, it gives us three things here that I want to point out to you. Number one, he says pure religion or genuine salvation is going to manifest in your speech. Write it down, number one. It's going to manifest in your speech. Number two, it's going to manifest in the way, I'm not sure how I worded it, but you're going to show love for people in need. And then the third thing, you're going to stay away from being stained by the culture. Let's make a few little statements about this. When you get saved, this is what the Bible says happens. You're transformed. Old things pass away, and new things start to come. You have new desires. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. And you're going to mess up. But instead of pursuing sin like you were, your heart hates it when you mess up. It grieves you when you mess up. And you're born again, you've got new desires, and your life is taking on new patterns. Something's happened on the inside of you. Now, what's happened on the inside will be made manifest in a changed life. It's not about doing things religiously, externally, outward circumstance, ceremony. It's about the inward heart. So he says, okay, so you want to know if you're doing right. He's going to give us three examples. Number one, he says, check your tongue. Your speech. Now, why does he pick the tongue? Did you know that the tongue is a tattletale on your heart? It really is. Because out of your heart, your tongue will speak. And if you want to know what's in your heart, just listen to your tongue. It's a tattletale. And then he says this. Pure religion is to visit orphans and widows. The word visit there means more than just to go by and say hi. That word has an idea of bringing love and bringing pity to someone. It means you care. It means you nurture. It means you love. You provide whatever is needed. And it's the idea of reaching out to someone and serving them. About 3 weeks ago, Miriam Warrior joined our Sunday school class. And I'm so happy you did, Miriam. And we had lunch about a week ago. She has been involved with the singles for over 20 years, is that correct? And remember about 20 years ago, the singles were just really, that was kind of the end thing, and there were really big singles groups. And now the singles era has kind of dwindled, and it's dwindled in our church. But the singles, when they were really in their heyday, got very active out at Dickerson Place. You're familiar with Dickerson Place. Now, how many children are out there?
16 right now.
Right now, there are 16 children at Dickerson Place. And they did all kinds of things for them. They got them a pool table. They took them to Pizza Hut. They really spent time with them. But now it's all boiled down to one thing that Miriam's doing. She's got enough money for 3 more birthdays. But on their birthday, she sends a $25 gift card from Walmart.
And when she joined our class, she said, I want to go to a class who will help me with this project. She's got enough money for 3 more gift cards. Now, what is pure religion? We just read it. It's caring for people. It, you know, if we just come to Sunday school and we listen, oh, that was a great lesson, and we walk out of here and we don't do anything, we are being deceived. And so I've been praying, God, help Oasis to be doers of your word. There's so many areas for service. I'm just telling you about one right here. And I don't know how we're going to set this up, Marion, but you need a little committee. And we need to be brainstorming. What are some other things we can do for the children that are in our community that we know to be orphans at Dickerson Place? And so that's something I want you to be thinking about. Now this card is going. And those children are so precious. They're so precious. I'm so proud of how we have been helping Patty Sue Arnold. Those of you who have just joined our class may not know. Did you know Oasis gives more money than any other group in the church to Patty Sue Arnold? And that is just a blessing to Patty Sue. I've never been there, but I've heard all about it, and my heart just wants to go. And I just admire her so much for what God's done in her life, working with orphans down where she is. So I want to mention this. And Marion, we're going to be kind of telling you how to... If you want to be a doer of the word, what?
I said, I'll take it and mail it.
That's right. She's going to handle that and take it. And then the last thing we saw was to keep yourself unspotted by the world. The word world there means the world system, the culture, our lifestyle, the stuff of the world, the philosophy of the world, the morality of the world. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're going to follow Christ, there's no place for compromise in you. You'll keep yourself unspotted by the world. You won't let the world's philosophy. And it's hard because the world is trying to press us into its mold. I got to finish, but I've got a few questions. What do you do when you discover in your life? You know, sometimes I say things I shouldn't with my mouth. Do you? Do you? And sometimes there are people around me who have needs, and I don't always reach out and meet that need. Is that true in your life? And sometimes I get hooked on the world's philosophy. It really sucks me in. And my answer to that is, when you discover that that's happened, what's your reaction? If your reaction is, God, I hate that in me. God, I don't want to be that way. You see, I'm not saying be perfect. I'm saying look at your heart. What is the desire of your heart? And what is the reaction of your imperfection? What is the pattern of your life? Is it to do right? Is it to speak right? Is it to keep yourself unspotted from the world? So the doer of the word is proven then in the area to himself, in the area to others, and in the area to the world. Am I for real? Check my tongue. Am I for real? Check my relationship with others. Am I for real? Check my attitude toward the world. Do I want to win the world to Christ, or do I just want to be like the world? That's how to do the inventory. So look at your life. And James said, how do you react in trials? How do you react in temptations? And how do you respond to the Word of God? 3 tests to say, am I really born again? Next week, don't miss. We're going to start the 4th test, and it's going to be dynamite. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word. It's so clear. You're calling us to live out the things that we're learning. Father, show us how. And I'll just tell you, Father, I love your Word. Your word is so pure. Your word is so right. Your word helps us. It heals us. It directs us. May we give our full attention to it. May we be like that second word. We stoop over and look intently, and we linger there because we want to see all of the imperfections, because we want to grow and we want to be used for you. Father, our time is so short in life. We're going to see over in chapter 4 that life is just a vapor. And so, Father, help us to live for you each day of our life. And we give you praise for this wonderful opportunity to study your beautiful word. May it come and give us confidence that we are for real. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.